nomination. MP Makaza.
Thank you. I second the name of Honorable.
Thank you, MP Makaza. Any further nominations? MP Sultan.
Oh, thank you. Just to confirm that I'm not available.
Thank you, members. An acting chairperson performs the function and may exercise the powers of the chairperson. Can I call you, Mr. Mwene, to come in front? Thank you very much.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Justice Mohan Mohan, represented by the committee center in conducting the electoral duty. I'll just start off by about three or four comments. The first one, once again, extend our condolences to the Honorable Chair. She's been going through a very tough year, 2018. This is a third bereavement every second month in a row since about June, and hope that she will have all the strength to carry the responsibilities on her shoulders with the loss of family members. It does happen. I've never lost a child, but the chair has been through that, but it does happen. We've all had some good times in our families to mourn the loss of our beloved ones. She came around briefly yesterday just to sort out some few administrative things and has dashed off this morning very early. Honorable members and anyone else interested, we might supply information later on as to what will be what when regarding that situation. The second one is just a word of gesture of appreciation. But before I do it, I would also wish to welcome, in particular, a visiting member, Honorable Maloy, who is also doubling up as a whip in the Agriculture Portfolio Committee. And colleagues would note that there are issues in today's program that overlap with agriculture, like the planet finance model, agri-parks, and so forth. So thank you very much. To the best of your ability, Honorable Maloy, that you are able to remain. You are most welcome to participate and do everything. We know that you are also the House Whip of the ruling party, so we know that you're very familiar with the rules as to what you may and how much you may exercise some support to the committee to this session. Thank you for joining us. Just on a personal note, as usual, thank you for once again nominating me to act as chair. I've made it before, I repeat, if it were according to me, I prefer sitting in that chair up until my term is over. The position of the governing party whip, which assumes the position of the committee whip, because the governing party in a democracy is then the majority party. It's an honor. On Monday at the Durban airport, just entrance to the airport, one young man, also an official, picks me up right from the entrance with my bags and says, "Thank you very much, you are inspired to see such people like you." I do not know him, so it's not a stage managed incident. And then he took my bags and took me through and through to the airline to check in and right through to the other side, to the boarding gate, and says, "We young people want to learn from yourselves. There's so much. What now?" And then it became personal. "What can I do to become like you, Mr. Mkun? What can I do?" I had to tell him a little bit of my background, where I come from, the 33 years experience in the political struggle, of which not a single day passed by without me being referred to as Comrade PJ, and that the conditions were different in the 80s, in the 90s. We were fighting a life and death struggle. You were prepared to lose everything. In their era, as the present youth, they must just try and see what the issues are, how to take the country and the nation forward. And I hope that, because people, there's also this perception that politicians are liars, so I might just be telling a lie. So I will search for him. I was not able to take his name, but I know him. He will be my guest at the next sauna, if I should see the next sauna. It is great, honorable members, our officials and everyone, to really serve the people, stand for the people. Those, even those we don't know, they are observing us, they know us. We are a source of their inspiration. I woke up this morning thinking of a song. I do not know how many know it. Mama Katarazu Funaga Dimko Utubia Laza. Ikoni Gometi, Ikomani Salisoze Latengi Sabandu. Our people need firm leaders who stand for their aspirations. And thank you. What I'm not sure I want to refer back to the committee secretary is whether I will be electing an acting chair every day and every sitting, or this nomination and election is up until the chair is back. Perhaps I'll need that clarified so that on my other capacity I know what to do. Just to get that clarified, and then we go to the program of the day as we see in front of us. I will welcome our stakeholders and everyone in the meeting, don't worry. But just if the opinion is incorrect, committee secretary, kindly correct me, that an acting chair in any committee, not necessarily a PJ Mbunye, acts up until the chair is available and back. And I'm talking quite from a distance in the experience of public enterprise, in the experience of quite a number of other committees. Feel free, committee secretary, to correct me, because I wanted to go to record this aspect. If I'm making a mistake, I stand to be corrected.
Thank you, Acting Chair. It is not provided for members. However, we do not have a meeting next week because the House sits at 10 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There you have it, members. Let's just note that. We are supposed today to deal with quite a number of issues. I hope everyone in the meeting can see the proposed program for the day. You, everyone in the meeting, the honorable members, the acting DG, the land bank, is that the board or the management in attendance?
So the chairperson of the board.
Mr. Lord, why are you hiding him though? You are hiding him for what? Okay, thank you. I didn't see you, Mr. Lotto. I know you very well. I can meet you at the airport. I can meet you anywhere in a rally. I didn't see you, though. Sorry for that. I would have even come before the meeting just to greet. Yeah. The land bank led by the chair. Sorry, you were saying the officials also management. Thank you very much, land bank. The department. I think I will get some apologies. I know that the executive arm of the department is not in our midst. But the commission is also in part an autonomous entity, in part, I'm saying, carefully guided, guarded. I welcome everyone into the meeting. Please feel free. If I forgot, please bear with me. I did a vote of thanks in one funeral. Mama Gatha, you were there. And there were matters arising thereafter. Oh, you didn't thank so and so. So there's always or a Brazilian, that human error that you might have forgotten, and people just are so sensitive to this, and no matter how you say, everyone else is thanked, everyone else is welcomed to the meeting. But if I forgot anyone, please feel free to tell me. When we resume after tea time, I'll still acknowledge. So there's no, absolutely no malice. Shall we entertain apologies? That's item 3 out of 12. We're moving quite fast.
Thank you, Chair. I've got an apology from Minister, Minister of World Development and Reform, Minister Maite Mashabane. She is attending a conference in Botswana from 19 to 21 November. I've got an apology from Minister for Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. He is unable to attend due to a prior ministerial commitment scheduled for the very same day. I've got an apology from the Deputy Minister Squacha. He has got an urgent family matter to attend to. Apology from the M. Mashego Dlamini. She has attended a study tour in China. Apology from the DM, Deputy Minister, Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. He was attending National Extension and Advisory Service Awards in Mabato yesterday night. I would assume he is still on his way from there. I've got an apology from the DG of the Department of Agriculture, but I can't find it. Oh, he's here. Okay, maybe it was from the DM. Then I've got an apology from MP Robertson. MP Robertson is still recovering from the operation.
When was this operation of Honorable Robertson? Honorable Baba, you want to see your hand up?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to submit the... I just wanted to submit the apology of my colleague as well, Walters. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No, I'm asking this because on record, you will see at Malamala day last Friday, Honorable Robertson was there. Now, if subsequently then he is still on an off sick, it makes some contradiction in terms, but let me leave it at that. So that's why I was just seeking clarity on that one. But Honorable Babam, you will kind of convey our clarity sort on the matter. So we would have assumed he is back by last Friday, but now he's back again on sick leave. So that's why I was asking the question. Just for clarity's sake, no politics, that's all on my part. Thank you.
Yes. Chair, he underwent a knee operation, and because of the urgency of Malamala, he had to be there. There was no choice unless he was dead. So we insisted that he be there, but he was in a lot of pain. Because he had a new operation.
We wish Honorable Robertson quite well. I've had 3 operations, 1 on my shoulder, I still have a metal piece here, and 2 on my feet, all in the soccer field, 3 of them fractured. So I definitely do understand his situation. Yeah. It was an exception last Friday. He defied the doctor's instructions, we're told. Thank you. The No, no. Yeah, I'm over. I play football, and I've made my bit of sacrifice. Honorable Mother.
No, Chair, I must just indicate that the other members of the Portfolio Committee of Agriculture might join us, but I must just emphasize that the invitation was not formally extended to the Portfolio Committee. It was an informal invitation, so it will be advisable that in future, when you bring a department which is which you are playing oversight on, to also invite the legislature to be part of that meeting. Just an advice, because the invitation was not formal, by the way.
Thank you, Honourable Malloy. I share the same notes. Thank you very much. We noted the meeting and the committee support when we deal with the issues. Probably the chair also could have also interacted. And because if you look at the items, blended finance model, if you look into AgriPark, if you look into some issues about land bank and treasury, there are definite issues of mutual interest. But also, you are absolutely right. If we're asking over your DG and or your departmental machinery as agriculture, then it would have needed to have catered. So to the extent that it was an oversight, the other meaning of oversight now, we tend our apology profusely in agriculture. Please feel free to be part of us and participate as you would have done had that invitation come in black and white or in electronic format. Yeah. We note and we'll welcome them when they come, Honorable Malloy. Colleagues from agriculture. I do know. When I'm exposed that I forgot my colleagues, Semi. I do know that he has joined us. Honorable Mapanga, you are most welcome, my chief. I think you came in the at the right time. Please remain. Yeah. Thank you. The item on apologies is done and dusted. Acting DG, in my typical oversight mode, kindly convey to your principal that they are actually the ones that are accountable to the committee, not even yourself. Who accounts to the legislature is the executive. And yourself and your machinery are not the part of the executive. You are the support system to the executive. So kindly convey that at all times. I would like to keep that item afloat. It's a typical oversight concern. Where we have three members of the executive unit, but we cannot have one. If they had a courtesy to call me aside, hey, we're in this situation, I'm still going to say the same. So I'm now saying it on record. We cannot have even one out of three. I don't know if the executive at Agriculture was invited or not. But at least of the executive members of the executive that we expected. Because some of the issues are policy issues that lie squarely on the depth of the executive. So it's better if we interact with those at that level. But I think we do accept the apologies. There's no question about it. We just adding up a small concern. The next item is the minutes and matters arising. I've still advised. Public Secretary.
The committee may wish to defer the minutes for the last agenda or defer the minutes for another day. But it will depend on what they want to do. Thank you, Chair.
No, I was still referring to the practical. I don't have copies. Okay, I don't. Sorry for that. Okay. Then the next item, once we have, is what to do. The proposal is to defer them, or the advice is to defer. defer the minutes, and shall we take that advice and defer them? Well, still, I don't have a copy. I cannot guide you on the minutes. I'm now, so seriously, Cynthia Malek, you always do your job so well, but I'm unlucky with you today. Honorable Chabane, Honorable Kamin.
Yeah, Chairperson, I suggest that we defer the minutes to the next meeting.
Honorable Filtai.
I support that, Honorable Chair.
Shock and cheese. Yes, Honorable Filtai. Thank you. The items then deferred, we will see if we still have time at the end of the meeting. We now want to ask to combine items 6 and 7. They are correct written in that manner, but in how we make presentations, we combine items 6 and 7. The department is presenting, and so do National Treasurer and Land Bank. Do we have National Treasurer? Thank you very much, sir. We apologize. You were one of those in my vote of thanks. I did not thank. So you could have marched out, but I see being a disciplined official, you chose to remain. Thank you very much. I wouldn't have known, sir. I profusely apologize. Yeah. So National Treasury, you will talk to us. I suggest you talk after the Land Bank. Because remember, funds follow function. I'm old school public admin. Eh? So Land Bank would be... But Land Bank is also talking fund anyway. But at least it's much more... So we will have these three in this session. Yes, thank you. I had noted the concept. Yeah. We will then... There are four in actual fact, in this order: Rural Development, DAF, Land Bank, Treasury. Now, honorable members, kindly guide and advise. Will you be able to take that volume, or you want to steam a little bit in between? The problem is, you might want to comment on something, yet the following presentation, because it's not the same thing. The following presentation maybe is dealing with maybe from a different angle. So shall I request and invite that we just take the four presentations. We'll keep taking notes and then we'll come back and discuss from there. Right? Thank you. Yes, sir.
Sorry, sir. I'm Mike Mlengana from DAF. First, my two ministers did apologize in writing. They were invited, just to put it on record. My minister was invited, and my DM was also invited. They singularly put written apologies, and I am here in an accounting office. That's one point. The other one is that with respect to the presentation itself, the request is specific as to how the presentation should be done. On point four of the invite, if you will, which is this, it requested, given that Dr. DLR, DAF, and the Land Bank, and the National Treasury are key partners, the committee requests that the partners prepare a joint presentation, which we took to mean that we will do one presentation. Which accordingly, following this, we therefore prepared that joint presentation, which has been, and it is an evolution of our joint working since we started the blended findings. I just want to say that's what is happening here, but it doesn't change your request also, what you are saying. But I just wanted just to remind you that this is what we did as responding to the request. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, that maybe we indirect third or fourth time, but with times in between, so I had omitted to acknowledge you. Thank you for the clarity. Can you just have the the other presenters confirm or indicate they are. If there are, if there's 100% overlap, or even with 10% non-overlap, then we can proceed that way. But in the event, I'll come, Dr. DLR, if there's slightly different emphasis, then we will then also allow that space. It so depends. DLR?
Thank you, Chair. I think in addition to what DGW has indicated, is the fact that this is a tripartite agreement. We signed one agreement, the three of us. And hence, when we prepared, our understanding that is that we are bringing a concept that the three of us are contributing to. Hence, we prepared one presentation for both the department, DAF, and the land bank. So we only have one presentation.
Land bank.
Chairperson, thank you. The name is TP in charge of the Chief Executive Officer of the Land Bank. Chair, to underscore the point you're making that there might be a need for clarification. There might be a need for clarification of specific issues, and indeed where there is a need for clarification of specific issues relating to specific institutions. It is our hope that we will be given the opportunity to zoom in on and classify specific matters in addition to the presentation that is indeed a joint one.
Thank you very much. Glenn Beck. Treasury, any comment?
Thank you, Chair. I think what the representative has said is true. What we are here for is mainly to respond to anything that any questions that may relate to what National Treasury is expected to do or what Treasury has done. But the presentation is a joint presentation.
Thank you. Honorable Khumani Chauk, all of the class. Sicela ukwamkela kule nhlangano. Oh, yes, it is cost. Thank you so much. That will be honorable Khumani Chauk. Thank you for taking time off your very, very busy schedule. We see you assist with very big matters. It's our privilege to share the same oxygen with you at this charge. Thank you. There you have it, colleagues. Shall we proceed in this manner? You see, DGs, there are also separate presentations in as much as we would believe you've then summed it up into one presentation. There are also separate there are also separate packages, so that's why it would have not been very clear. But shall we go with the one unified presentation, but in the process allow room for additions that are department or entity specific? Certainly Treasury, you can't just say, even if DPME was also here, they couldn't just say, our sister department has spoken. They would have to say from where, from monitoring and evaluation point of view, this is where it takes us. I suppose you will then be coming in from financial oversight point of view over the fiscus, you know, and just making two or three points in addition. Not to say we are disentangling the alliance. It's a great one for our people. But we would love to see also specific entities or departments highlight their specific aspects to it. For now, we allow for the presentation. Over to you, ladies and gentlemen. and I'm telling you, this is a connector power, got the computer, I have one thing as smooth as I got. Hey, Mr. Mlenga, these days, that's one button, eh? And then someone is go. Let me not fall into it.
What's the English version?
Why are you waiting for it?
What's the English version of
it? Ex-UN Gobo Miskwa Sexy. The unity and struggle of opposites. Over to you, Regiment. You will kindly introduce yourself. I'm from the Justice Board, USEC Nomabundi. Kindly introduce yourself and get going. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Clinton, Honorable Chair. My name is Eldam Chiza. I'm the Chief Director in the Department of Agriculture, Forests and Fisheries, responsible for the Comprehensive Agricultural Support Program. Honorable members, we were invited to come and share the framework for the blended funding. The presentation outline is we will touch on the rationale for the blended funding model, the problem statement.
Sorry, why is there? Which document are you talking to? Just give us the cover page there.
Department
21st.
Blended funding model joint briefing to the portfolio committee.
All our members, you got that?
Unsustainable agricultural practices, which are also worsened by climate change, which has become a threat. But more importantly is that there are currently uncoordinated social support programs and systems, and this has led to government interventions being showing less impact because the resources are not necessarily pulled together, they are thinly spread, and they have, as a result, resulted in limited impact. In an attempt to respond to these problems and try and pull resources of government between agriculture and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, the parties agreed to join forces and implement the re-engineering of the Agricultural Development Finance Initiative, which had proposed that there must be the introduction of a blended instrument to commercialize land producers. So we joined a signed agreement, which was then signed in September 2018 as part of the blended finance facility. I will get into detail to explain what this agreement was talking to and what is the blended funding. In the agreement, the administration of the fund is with the land bank, and land bank will play a dual role. They would be the fund administrator as well as the financing institution, wherein the Department of Agriculture, Forests and Fisheries, as well as the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform would be the pullers of resources in terms of the grant portion and bring in their additional resources to ensure that farmers are properly supported and monitor the process and the program. The fund facility in terms of pulling or creating a platform where government between the two departments can sit around the table and also become a platform where other funders could also partner with government in accessing the blended funding is also part of the institutions that has been formed. The fund administrator, as indicated, is the land bank, which would administer the program or the grant facility. The objective of the blended funding is aimed at reducing reliance on grants and improve access and affordability of loans by black producers. One of the key issues that were raised was the challenges, as I had indicated, of access to funding. And the point which the bank had indicated when we were at Operation Takisa was that access to funding is difficult because they are unable to finance black producers as they had been identified or they are perceived as high risk. So in our effort to de-risk and use the use of our grants that we used to provide to producers, we would use them to de-risk these producers so that we increase their access and affordability of these loans. And in so doing, we'll be able to reach more farmers and also introduce new commercial producers into the sector, thus expanding the cultural base and injecting new entrepreneurs into the sector. And in so doing, because we would have supported sustainable commercialization of black producers, we are hoping to shift the demographic composition of South Africa's commercial agriculture. The financing value chain, as has been structured, it will start at pre-financing before even the application is received by the bank. The pre-financing phase, there's already work that we have done to pull in teams, which I would explain, but it is the support that is given to the producer in preparation of their land to determine the proper profiling of the farm, doing soil testing up to a point where each farm has a bankable business plan created, and all the gap that is identified during pre-financing stage would also be funded. And then the application is received by the bank. The application process would be done where the bank has the responsibility to do proper due diligence with its experts and also to commit, determine the debt ratio that would be affordable for the farmer and confirm the grant portion that is needed to make the transaction work. Insurance has been introduced, so there's an insurance scheme to, as part of insurance sustainability of these producers and to mitigate the risk, as we had indicated that some of the risk had to do with the changes in climate. So there's an insurance scheme that has been built into the program, and all producers who would be beneficiaries of this program for the first time would also be secured with insurance which is provided by the program. The disbursement part of the value chain does not only involve giving the money to the producers and walking away. It also includes the support that would be coupled with the funding to ensure that the farmer is assisted to produce, to plant on time, to manage his operation up to the point of sale. And in that way, he is able to operate a commercial enterprise. But before the disbursement, what we have also worked on to protect the state, also particularly on the contribution of the grant fund, that there are terms and conditions that the farmer would have to sign. One of them is that the assets that they are operating on, with state grants being a contributor to their support, is now part of state. So if they choose to sell, if it is a private farm, the state will have to have first right of refusal. So the terms and conditions of the grant has already been put in, also to ensure that you mitigate the risk of fronting, as well as ensure that the applicants are actually practically involved in the operation of the fund. There's also monitoring and evaluation, which has been properly outlined. The parties have key roles and responsibilities that have been identified. The insurers will monitor the funds to ensure that the husbandry and good agricultural practices is applied, so that insurance is not paid where there has been mismanagement. The departments, both agriculture, forestry and fisheries, will also follow through in terms of monitoring. That whole process has been outlined using the extension officers, using their technical advisors, using the SOEs and community organizations that we are going to be partnering with, ensure that part of monitoring includes is done by them. Land Bank, as a financing institution, has also key outlined roles and responsibilities around the monitoring that they would make, not only on the loan that has been paid, but also in terms of good husbandry practices on the land assets that has been funded. We also have finalized the grant tenure. The blended funding is supposed to run for a period of 10 years before we assess whether it has failed or succeeded. So we had outlined the period for which an evaluation needs to be made. We had outlined the period for which the grant closure should then be prepared for. But we are hoping once the evaluation has been completed, this would be in year 7. Year 8, all parties will now have a view of how successful the program has been run. In year 9 and year 10, once the decision has been made to say now it is business as usual, we have transformed the sector, we do not need blended funding, we get notification that we need to close the program, there would not be further advancement of a grant, then we would not be taking up any new applicants, so that you close down the ones that are being, so the whole operating manual up to the close out has been concluded. And we believe in this way, because we have clearly outlined the outcomes, we have clearly outlined the objectives at any point throughout the system, you are able to be clear of what impact you wanted to see, and you can step in and assess whether it has been done or not. This is just a grammatic scheme, a tick chart that shows the process flow in terms of the application, graphical representation of the process. The pre-financing support, I do not have a pointer, but we have technical, the three bullets on my left on top, which talks to the technical capability, the business plan, and market access. That work would be prepared by the community organizations. Below it, you'll see the boxes with the community organization as houses. We would partner with community organizations, we would partner with provincial departments, we would partner with SOEs, we would partner with the academic institutions, and the teams in terms of commodity specific would be working on each land parcel, primarily because part of the objective of the program is to make land work. We have, so the Department of Rural Development already assigned technical teams that have done the assessment on these farms to come up with profiles of each and every farm that has been distributed and determine the productivity of those areas and produce a bankable business plan. When the bankable business plan has been developed, the producer will now approach the land bank. The land bank would receive the application, and its technical teams must do a thorough assessment on its bankability. And any gap that has been identified, there's a tripartite forum which is going to be formed, where the technical team that developed the plan for the farm, the farmer, as well as the land bank would be sitting together to discuss some of the gaps that the land bank has already identified. The gaps are closed. Land bank is satisfied that the business application is bankable. They are happy that the technical support that is aligned to making this business successful is in place. They then determine the loan portion that would be afforded by this business, as well as the grant portion that needs to be provided by the state to support this producer. That is determined. That application is then, as was crafted, sent to the funding forum, which is a platform that then confirms that the rest is done, but the funding forum and the triangle, what we also discussed, because as part of the engagement that we have had with the PC of Agriculture in particular, because we've presented this program to them before, was that to cut down the bureaucracies, you do not necessarily need now a third party. So the triangle forum, which then confirms the application, would have to include the appointed members of Rural Development and DAF, who then confirms the final decision of the land bank, and credit is happy with the sign-off of that technical team, and credit releases the funding as has been approved, after it has been signed off by the appointed technical teams of DAF and Rural Development. The response goes to the fund facility at the land bank. The fund facility manager, as I indicated, is separate from the bank as a banker. The fund facility receives the application from the team that is satisfied that it has met the objective of the program and the economic benefit criteria has been properly applied on this farmer. This farmer, maybe what I must do, because this presentation has moved a step backward in outlining the who benefits out of additional black producers who are owning and controlling the agriculture value chain. So to us, a black producer who is owning and controlling the agriculture value chain is nothing less than 60% black ownership. We were targeting 100%, but we are understanding that the value chain of agriculture, beyond just the productive area of agriculture, includes your processing, includes agribusiness, and some skills that you would need to be able to be global players, not just only focusing on South Africa, you might really get from your white counterparts. So you can bring them on board as long as you are still the operating driver of that operation and your ownership is above 60%. So in this instance, we are not talking about employees who are in a scheme that they are given 60%, but they don't have operational control and that they don't take the decision to drive those operations. When we are talking black commercial, we are really wanting black commercial that will be standing in the room and compete with the world. So that's the focus for the program. And we are commercializing the producers who are black throughout the categorization that DAF has compiled. We have categorized the producers in small scale, medium scale, and large scale commercial. We are busy as a department with the policy on black producer commercialization policy. It is being consulted. Part of the consultation was that there's now an introduction of mega producers, which according to the contribution that has come in, we need to say anyone above 50 million turnover is now regarded as mega commercial. That's what the policy is now going to propose. But for now, we are clear. If your access point into the blended funding and you are currently operating a farm, you need to at least have a turnover of above 500,000. Anyone who is unable to achieve 500,000 turnover per annum is not ready for commercialization, needs to be supported through the programs of government that are grant funded through your CASP that goes to provinces, your ILEMA Lisema that goes to provinces, as well as your one household, one garden, and other programs of rural development, which are trying to strengthen or provide infrastructural support, input support to take those operations to an operating or productive level up to a turnover of 500,000. Once a producer reaches a turnover of 500,000, that producer, the team that I have spoken about, should now be working at finalizing the commercial viability unit for that farmer and finalize a bankable business plan, because this farmer is now ready to take on a loan and be coached or be supported to operate the commercial asset. And of course, I spoke to insurance. LB will also be notified of the application by Land Bank, and LB will come in and provide the insurance. They are finalizing the scheme for the program, and it will be presented to the steering committee. So the controls in terms of the team that provides oversight for the program, there's a steering committee that has been formed. The steering committee would be advisory to the DGs, the CEO, on the shortcomings and the challenges for the program. There would also be the interface in terms of their recommendation that will now caution the DGs as well as the CEO on what next lobbying or what next support they should bring in to not allow the program to fail. So the steering committee also would have that oversight role, and they will be the recipients of the reports from the facility manager. They will be the recipient of the reports from the community organizations and all other parties that are involved with the program to be able to do a thorough assessment of challenges and success of the program. We have also looked at the fact that the program will have to be audited, so all documentation and the operating manuals, we have developed even the templates so that there's no confusion of who is expected to do what, such that the time the auditor comes, all expected documentation as per the process manual that has been developed are able to be given to the auditor to audit. The commodities that are prioritized to be supported are in line with the policy action plan of the Department of Agriculture, Forests and Fisheries, as also has been confirmed by the National Development Plan. We are prioritizing for those commodities that have high growth potential, as well as those that have jobs that are labor intensive. I would not go into detail, there are outlines there. This slide is trying to talk to the issues that I have mentioned. The steering committee, which was established, I have already explained what the steering committee's role is. The members of the steering committee would include DPME, it would include National Treasury, it would include Rural Development, Agriculture, as well as Land Bank, and we also have the Agriculture Sector Forum, which is the representation of farmers who will be part of the steering committee. DG Mlengana has already written letters to the DGs of Rural Development, of National Treasury, as well as to ASU, to nominate representation to the steering committee. As I had indicated, the tripartite agreement was signed. The service level agreement was developed by Rural Development, and it became important that Rural Development has a separate service level agreement with Land Bank, wherein there is a team that forms part of the development team that moves to all the land reform farms in assessing and profiling them. Service provider was appointed, as has been indicated, to do manual artifacts. This talks to the template. Artifacts is the new language that we learned when we were developing the operating manual, and we were told we were speaking templates, and they brought in the new terminology, artifacts. So when we speak artifacts, we're not saying something different, it's really just template. So as I had outlined, we developed the operating manual. It took us 5 weeks to do a thorough job in developing the operating manuals as well as those templates. They've been signed off. They are part of the tripartite agreement that the DGs have signed. So every page of those artifacts, no DG must say, I don't know anything about it. They had put their signature on it. And because we are aware of the audit, where there's any change in, for example, we had looked at the challenges around collating people to a meeting, and you said a quorum needs to be made by all departments plus one, and the drivers, which is Rural Development and Agriculture, are always present, but other departments like your DTI, your water, your DI are not present. We realize that if we are to be audited, although the meeting said and Rural Development and Agriculture was present, if DI and water were not present and National Treasury was present, the auditor can actually look at the minutes and say, but the decision cannot be standing because the meeting did not correct. So we went back to the steering committee and proposed that those changes be adopted. We changed the artifacts. We want it to be signed off so that it forms part of the package, which would also be audited. So we are learning from the mistakes of the past, and we are hoping that this program, in as much as it is bringing a positive shift to focusing on commercializing black producers, it should not be carrying some of the mistakes of the past that were created. Transparency is one of them, so everyone would know every decision that is being made in the process. National Treasury also has approved the funding from rural development into the program, because rural development came into the partnership late. Ourselves and Land Bank, the DGs signed the agreement in March 2016, and the program was presented to the joint MINMEC of Rural Development and Agriculture on the 16th of March 2018. And after that, with positive feedback that we received from the mayors and from the ministers of rural development, the Department of Rural Development joined us in the development of the operating manuals and the templates. And finally, we had to come back to them and present to the DG. And in September, the agreement was changed to a tripartite agreement, which was signed in September. So the PCO of Agriculture would have been in March that the agreement was signed. So you should not be surprised that we are talking about an agreement only referring to the one for 17 or for September. At this point in time, we are engaging the community organizations. I'm aware that they are having some agreements with rural development, but from a staff point of view, we have agreed that we are clear in terms of the services we want them to provide. We have now met with them, understood their challenges. We are all agreeing that a joint MOU would be relevant to support the program. And National Treasury did approve the transfers that rural development has requested to go into the program. This financial commitment below is with regards to rural development, and I think the DG can outline what has been presented there, but from my observation, it really is outlining the funding from restitution as well as land reform that has now been sent into the grant fund facility. Also to mention is that DAF's responsibility is not only to those black producers who are put on land that has been acquired by the state. Ours is the responsibility of all producers in South Africa. So those producers in South Africa who are black, who have acquired land privately, would also be beneficiaries of the program. As a result, rural development has the key focus of wanting to make land reform work such that every asset that has been issued is operational and is commercial and is successful. So we have ring-fenced their allocation, the restitution one under restitution, which would only be blended to all restitution projects. And the land reform one would be blended to all land reform programs. And I think it is going to be easier because there's already teams that are assessing and ensuring that those projects are commercialized. In terms of the roles, I've spoken to the funding that rural development has made. It is 2.6 billion over a three-year period. The largest part of this money is the funding for restitution, and of course they have pulled one portion of the 300 million to join our pool of general, and they also have pulled 150 million for the land reform project. And the other funding is also outlined as has been shown. But added to this is that the department still has programs and they have the PTC meetings, which are also chaired by them in line with the thinking of the blended funding. And I have also mentioned their role with regards to monitoring of the program. Ours was a grant portion. We became fortunate that when we were developing the program at PAGISA, we had the National Treasury as part of the work stream for producer support. So immediately when we came out of PAGISA, they had already allocated 370 million to us to pilot the initiative of PAGISA, so that at least we have what somewhere where to start. And this really talks to it. But added to this, we've had a number of engagements with the Technical Committee on Finance, as well as with the Provincial Department of Agriculture and Provincial Treasury. And there has been an acceptance that 15% of the CASP funding would also be ring-fenced to commercialize black producers. So we have a confirmation that the National Treasury will make more resources available for the program for the 10-year period that has been committed. This is really a summary of what came out of PAGISA, as I had indicated. If anyone is asking, in terms of agriculture being a concurrent function, why is this not done in each and every province, is that PAGISA came out proposing that government must develop a blended instrument which should be leveraging government funds and private funds, but more importantly, it must be administered centrally in order to improve access and affordability of finance and lessen the current reliance on grants. Hence, we are having a central blended fund program, and we are not having a concept or a framework which we want decentralized by all individual provinces. That is important to note. The issues addressed is really what was part of the introduction. I'm not going to repeat them. And the solution design really guided the development of the blended fund, the program that we now call the Black Producer Commercialization Program. When we came out of PAGISA with this initiative, DG Mlengana said, you know, we are now having an instruction to develop, because PAGISA initiative said develop the instrument. He said it's either we're going to take too long to develop these instruments by going to other countries and learn how they have developed blended funding. We might have to talk to the World Bank, we might have, so we can spend the whole year just trying to benchmark on how should this program look like. He then said, we at home have a program which is the Black Industrialist. So he spoke to the DG of DTI and said, I want the development of this Black Producer Commercialization Program to be modeled to the Black Industrialist Program. So in 2017, we set from June to August, and it was a full 5 weeks where we were now modeling the Black Producer Commercialization Program against the Black Industrialist Program. And in that team, we were supported by Land Bank, we were supported by IDC, and we were supported by the NEF. So the PAGISA initiative from our side, this is one initiative that has moved with the speed that it has up to this far, and all thanks to the parties that are involved in it. The role of the funds in the grant fund facility, as well as the loan component that would be made available to blend the program, would be used for acquisition of primary agricultural land parcels. And as I had indicated, although the private acquirer of that land is going to be paying for the loan portion of that asset, because government is providing grant funding for that acquisition, that land parcel would be regarded as success around land reform, and the title would also be the terminology that endorsed, that rural development taught us. That title would be endorsed. So the funds would be used for acquisition of primary agricultural land parcels. The fund would also be used to support land development for restitution projects, as I had indicated. It would also be used for capital equipment and infrastructure. It would be used for working capital of those assets. So no one should not be on their farm full time to lend the funding business. We have acknowledged the role and responsibility that the fund facility at the land bank will have to do. Already now we are putting too much demand on the land bank to increase their turnaround time. So we would be paying them 2.5% of the management fee on the program. We have agreed also that we would put aside or ring-fence 1% of the funds to support these producers during the pre-financing phase. Some of the work that needs to happen during the pre-financing phase is the development of the business plan. Not any other black producer who is keen to put their production unit into full commercial scale has the money to do a due diligence, proper due diligence, or even to compile a decent business plan. So that 1% would actually be made available to the community organization and the team that is working with that farmer to develop that business plan. Slide 14, the dynamic business model is now the business model that has now been developed through PAGISA to support these producers. In the past, anyone could come onto your farm and claim that they have supported you. What this initiative is really trying to do is to strengthen the work of community organizations to support these producers and help them to run competitive enterprises. What is also key about this model is that it is prescriptive on what support needs to be provided to the farmers. We also have identified partners on the business model, as I had already outlined earlier in that graphical distribution. But I want us to get to slide 16 because this is where now the business model is properly explained. The team that DG has appointed to go to the farms must come with a proper farm assessment. Part of the farm assessment must include the skills audit. It must include the market needs audit that has been done and the gap or identify the funding and financial requirements. But they must also get to a point where they assess the viability of the farm. So some land parcels might not necessarily ever be commercially viable, and we need to get that information out so that we know that these people are sitting on land parcels that will never be, that do not have the potential to be commercial. So we need to understand that whole profile. When that whole profile is understood, then the business plan would be made, as well as the producer support business model, to say how then do you close those gaps. So skills audit, what training needs to happen. Market audit, what support needs to be made, what market needs to be lobbied, and so on. And the services, as had been outlined, then the final output would be a proper farm profile, a business plan, as well as market that has been identified where the farmer would access. Then the specialized extension would also be determined. We have to be clear on what extension or which extension officer, because of the type of commodities, as well as mentorship and accreditation. It becomes important that they are accredited because we are wanting black producers who are also going to enter export market. Accreditation becomes important. I had already spoken to who are these parties. DAF leads the producer support. You have your commercial banks, currently not commercial banks, currently you are working with the DFI. We have not opened it to the commercial banks, but the model itself can actually be extended to commercial banks. Currently in the proof of concept phase, because we are talking proof of concept phase, we are only focusing on strengthening institutions of the state, which is your land bank, which is all other DFIs who can participate in the program. I have spoken to the role that ARC must play, NNC, the role that NNC must play. Currently, ARC is working with us to all the farms to do the soil profiling in the land reform project. PPECD is currently also working with us. There's a program that has been developed where all producers who are beneficiaries of the CASP grant at this point in time are being trained on how on SA GAP certification. And the
ARC would be Agriculture
Research Council, yes.
Okay, go on.
And the National Agriculture Marketing Council, which is an SOE of DAF as well. They do market research and analysis, and they have the legislative responsibility to provide oversight to commodities on behalf of the minister. The PPECB is the, I need to remember now, Perishable Product Export Control Board, yes. Perishable Product Export Control Board, yes. The Perishable Product Export Control Board is an SOE of DAF. It is the one that certifies all perishable products that need to be exported outside the country. So they understand the export standards. That is why they are key players in teaching our farmers on what standards need to be complied with. And then we have the Honor the Poor OPP, the Honor the Poor Biological Products, which is our entity where vaccines for the country are being produced. It is actually the largest vaccine developer in the Southern Hemisphere, and they are doing well at this point in time in trying to come up with vaccines for your foot and mouth diseases and so on. And ours is a jealous request that all government institutions that and all black producers that need to vaccinate their cattle must buy from OBP to strengthen that government institution. It's really the best in the Southern Hemisphere. And of course, I spoke to our partnership with academic institutions, and we have provinces with a key role to play. In the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we are the policy and framework setters, and our arm is the Department of Agriculture in provinces where they have the constitutional mandate to implement the programs and the frameworks and the policies that we have developed. So they become key players in providing the extension support, the economic advisor support, as well as any other service that would be required by the farmers. And of course, we have the Department of Small Business. We have worked with them in finalizing the categorization so that a small is small also in business, so that our small farmers are able to access the incentives that small has defined as small within the business space. Department of Rural Development, key players, Department of Water and Water Affairs, Water and Sanitary, Water and Sanitation. Department of Water and Sanitation, they are key players because we need them to advance water rights to our producers. And we have the Department of Environmental Affairs, who are key players in advancing environmental impact assessment reports. And these key players are the players that we constantly need to sit with and share the challenges of our farmers with. In terms of the institutional controls, I have spoken to it throughout my discussion. This is really just a demonstration of the hard work that was done. When we say it is completed, the documentation is there and it has been signed off. I was saying if the DGs have a time to sit and talk about the tripartite agreement, each one would remember the pain they had to take to sign this thick documentation with all these pages signed off. That's the summary, Chair, of the consolidated business plan and presentation to the PC of Rural Development. But what we have not touched on in this presentation is the changes that the land bank had to make to fit into the program. And I think the CEO can talk to it, so that you understand it was not necessarily an easy flow as we were demanding what they needed to do to shift, and they were quite excited because the program is beginning to enable them to be relevant to their mandate and
chief director, you're not called chief director for nothing. Eh? This, all these teams combined nominated you to make a presentation. You know that fireworks is going to fall. You know that one? I'll tell you something again. Thank you very much, madam, for the presentation. Honourable members, why we still switched on like that, I think we've got an option to take additions. Let me put it in that way. Stakeholders, departments, entities, you know exactly where you want to add issues specific to yourselves. Both in terms of agreement and grey areas or red flags. Thank you. Start with from the understanding of agriculture itself, agriculture was present to us, we present that. Then I'll come to you, Lembe.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. I think for me, it just helps to put an emphasis to members that this is a response to the need for financial support for black smallholder farmers. It is new in its form, and therefore may have a lot of loopholes in it, and we intend to develop it as we implement it. But we have applied a lot of time on it. But more importantly, I guess, it needs to be clarified that it is regulating and guiding financial support to smallholder farmers. There has been a lot of support that was coming uncoordinated and disintegrated, if you will, with lack of understanding and analysis of monitoring, especially of the impact to those smallholder farmers. Does the financial support change the socio-economic situation of those farmers and the communities that they serve? It was clear that some of these programs were not doing that job. And Lemberg, as a financial developmental financial institution, was doing this alone. We were doing it alone with different, calling it common objective. But still, the smallholder farmer was saying, we are not affording. And therefore, it was not growing. So we segmented the farmers themselves to try to understand the nature of their needs. And that we'll talk to later. But we acknowledge, one, the three objectives of government, one being, let me say, it is informed by the three fundamental objectives of government, which is food security, employment creation, and contribution to economic growth, usually called GDP contribution. Taking into account those, we then said food security is one of those strategic objectives. At any given point in time when the country has nowhere to move, and hunger is facing it, we must have food secured for the vulnerable groups. And the program had to address that. The financial aid had to address it, because those vulnerable groups do not have financial assistance. And if they do, they cannot afford it. So this had to sort of respond to that. But it also responds to the fact that some of these black smallholder farmers are now producing for surplus. So how do we then give them support so that they can efficiently serve the market? We segmented them, therefore, and the lower ones, we call them subsistence farmers. They produce for consumption, and they produce a lot. But once they can produce to sell, and they surplus, we call them medium commercial. And those, the farmers that produce to above from 500,000 to a million to about 5 million turnover a year. And we keep on supporting them, but we drive them towards what we call value chains. And that value chain is agro-processing. They can, for example, move from maize production to doing maize production and maize meal, which can also be consumed, but there's more money in selling maize meal than in selling maize. So we want them to go into that. For example, in Limpopo, where people have grown from just producing moringa to actually grinding moringa and selling it via global debt, a certification that DPI gives, and export licenses that we give, and those people are going to Switzerland and competing they need financial support to try and grind that moringa. And then we're supporting those people, he called them mega, she called them mega commission. And we keep on supporting those. So I just wanted to emphasize the fact that it is a response to the need for financial support for segmented farmers, responding to the fundamental objectives of government. And therefore we're partnering with the land bank and ensuring that between rural development and DAF, the land bank, we grow a financial support that allows us to meet the objectives of government. I felt, let me just buttress that point and put it so clear that it allows us to understand that it is a project that perhaps even the comments that come in the question will be questions that allow us to perfect, if you will, this type of program. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
DG, thank you so much, sir.
Chairperson, thank you.
Are you ready, Dr. Taylor? At some point. Land Bank.
Chairperson, with your permission, if you allow me, there are about 5 slides or so that I would like to pull out of a presentation that I would like to talk to. So I would like to move over to.
Thank you. You're most welcome, sir. He can join. You don't mind sitting next to him in broad daylight. Everyone is here, man. Yeah. I don't know about connectivity there. You have an able support of the gentleman called Mr. Ralph Sebifelo.
And the moral of the story is that what goes around comes around. When you have time, I'll tell you the story of a train traveling from Cape Town to Johannesburg. The old man sitting next to a young man, lighting a cigarette at the pipe. Thank you, sir.
This is a real life example of a partnership that the Land Bank concluded a month ago, having worked on it over a couple of months before that. It is the Land Bank on the one hand having made a commitment of a loan facility of 300 million rand. I hope members can follow that from the green block. Then the Deciduous Fruit Producers Trust, this is an organization of the deciduous fruit industry, made a commitment of 100 million rand in the form of a repayable grant. And in the third instance, the Jobs Fund, which is a unit within the National Treasury, made available an amount of 200 million rand in the form of a grant. These three amounts, 300, 100, and 200 million, were then combined into a fund to create a special, specific purpose vehicle, which is targeted at applying blended finance principles in the horticulture industry to achieve transformation. Its basic element, as my colleague to my left, Elga, was saying, is here. Firstly, providing technical support. So in other words, the black participants who are new to the industry are assisted to produce credible business plans. Secondly, to structure market access and value chain arrangements, as well as ongoing business support in technical production management. It also has overlaid on it a crop insurance structure, so some kind of a group cover for all the natural insurance events that could adversely affect production. Because the 200 million grant portion is a grant, it doesn't carry a cost, but the 300 million rand from the Land Bank has a cost to it, because the Land Bank has a cost to its funding. This is then a blended financing. The way this money is going to be distributed is that the total 600 million will then reach the farmers through on lending. So there will be a farmer who's granted maybe 10 million, another farmer 15 million, another farmer 20 million. I think that is the range where we anticipate this fund to. The reason why I'm making this as an example, Chairperson, is to demonstrate in practical terms how barriers to access can be overcome by blending money. And I was thinking about this as I woke up this morning to say, what exactly does blending mean? And it simply, as we all know, means combining two or more elements to produce something new, to deliver different outcomes. So debt together with grant funding combined plus a host of support services. Chair, with your permission, the next question that I would like to address myself to, and I will again, apologies, flip over to that slide, is in practical terms from the Land Bank side, how does the delivery work, the execution? And this particular slide, Chairperson, is the one that in one page captures how the transactions will be processed through the Land Bank's transaction delivery process. Starting to the left and going to the right, where in the first
page 39, Honourable Member, same document, page 39, small print, very small, but page 39, thank you.
Starting to the left and moving to the right. Firstly, it is about receiving an application from a client. But in addition to that, we, as Elder was explaining, we receive, well, we have used the word business plan here, but it is more a technical assessment report from the department. And that technical assessment report is prepared at the moment from the Department of Land Reform, for instance, by specialists from the Agricultural Research Council, as well as certain private service providers. And what we do in the second step, Chairperson, initial assessment, this is where together our specialists at the bank, a team of agricultural economists at the bank, sit together with the technical specialists from the department and from the ARC to review the technical criteria and the technical dimensions of the farm, to say how big is the land, what are the soil conditions, what kind of inputs are required, is there adequate infrastructure, and so on and so on. So that we evaluate and agree that indeed this particular farming unit can be used for a particular productive purposes. So we then have to reconcile the technical data. What we find in practice, for instance, is that a farm could be there as a farm unit of 500 hectares, but if it hasn't been used for several years, parts of it might have degraded. So for any given season, you might find that scientifically, only maybe 300 hectares instead of the entire 500 can actually be brought into production. So when we do that, we then model the production profile of the business properly. And we need to do that so that we don't lead our people into failure by giving them money with the hope that they will yield on 500 hectares of land, when actually the scientific and technical potential of a farm is less than that. So as per my statement at the bottom there, the purpose of doing this entire assessment, Chairperson, is to strengthen and to enhance the business case and to try and mitigate whatever risks might be associated with the farm unit. And then the next step is a detailed evaluation where we look at the commercial criteria now. What commodity are we talking about? Is potato, maize, fruits, and so on? What are the prevailing prices? What kind of marketing channels are going to be followed by this farmer? And the financial criteria, the revenue models, the estimates, and then eventually we come to debt service affordability calculations. So, to use another basic example, Chairperson, a person might be requiring, here is a farm unit, it needs to be recommissioned and resuscitated, it needs about 10 million rand in the form of fertilizers, production inputs, plus maybe new equipment and so on. 10 million required. But when we sit down and do the financial modeling and so on, taking into account the technical aspects and the market aspects, we might find that the debt capacity, the amount of debt of a loan that this farm unit can take is maybe only 6 million rand. And that is where we must then bring in 4 million in the form of a blended grant portion to achieve that overall funding requirement that is required. Lastly, Chair, just to indicate that it is a scientific fact that all farms have particular, all sorts of risks associated with them. And I don't want to lecture members about this. A vegetable farmer will contend with pest risk. A deciduous fruit farmer would also be characterized by pest risk. A farmer of poultry, there could be serious prevalence of disease happening in any given area. There's a particular example of a lady who lost her entire flock of chicken in the Brest area, and unfortunately they didn't have insurance. We had financed the project to about 12 million rand. So once this has been done, Chair, we then go to the decision point where the financing decision is made. And rightfully so, Chairperson, the critical question is always, yes, Land Bank, working with the department, you need to follow a thorough due diligence process, and you have to follow due process in terms of your governance systems. But please, can we do these things on an efficient basis so that when people come and they are assisted, we don't take 6 months to assist them. And this is a challenge that we have as an organization. I'm the first to admit that very often we take far too long as an organization in terms of turnaround times. That is why in this particular instance for the blended finance program, there's been a special team that has been set up at the office, at head office in Centurion, to give me a closer line of sight as well as the executives. The next question, Chairperson, that is often asked is the cost of money that the land bank on the loan side carries. And it, we need to answer it today to say, how is the land bank funded and what is the land bank's cost of funds profile? And Chairperson, again, with your permission, if I could flip over to the slide. I wonder if this one you have, Chairperson. I'll start with this one. How is the land bank funded? And Chair, the history of the, I joined the land bank in 2015, beginning in February. Prior to that was a period from around 2008-09 to until 2014, when my predecessor colleague, Pagamani Hadebe, was the CEO there. The committee or some of the committee members might be aware of the difficult period that the land bank went through prior to 2008. However, around 2009-2010, there was a capitalization from the National Treasury of about 3.5 billion rand that was then given to the land bank. That 3.5 billion rand capitalization was drawn, I think, over a three-year period or so. That was the physical cash capital that came from the National Treasury. Subsequent to that, the land bank has had to embrace a borrowing program. So the organization, well before my time, and yes, indeed, during my time, the first sources of money that we raise is by going to markets, to institutional investors, the bonds investors, and the general banking facilities that we raise from the open market. The second source of funding to the right of this slide, Chairperson, is the money that we raise from international multilateral development institutions. I'm referring here to the African Development Bank in particular, the World Bank, the European Investment Bank, and so on. The difference between these two sources of funding is that the commercial sources are mainly South African fund managers that give us money in the form of bonds, and the money is often, in terms of tenure, short dated. They give us maybe 4 years or 5 years to repay the money, whereas developmental sources are long dated. African Development Bank facilities are 15 years, the World Bank one is 20 years, and so on. And it is these sources, the African, from the multilateral and development finance institutions, those are the facilities that are guaranteed by the National Treasury. The National Treasury guarantees that we often hear about are used for purposes of guaranteeing that portion of the money. And we use that. And the reason why we require long-dated development funding is so that when we finance developmental and emerging farmers, we can provide them long-dated loans of to buy farms, for instance, and so on and so on. So, but the next page is just an overall view of how the cost of funding of the land bank has changed over the past 5 years or so. The base cost of the bank's funding today, the base cost, is just over 8.7%. So, Chairperson, the reason why I'm spending time on this slide is just to say that we use borrowed money where, and it is very helpful to blend it with grant money so that on an overall basis, the black farmer beneficiary can gain the benefit. Because pay, in my 10 million rand example, paying interest on 10 million is more than paying interest on a loan portion of only 6 million. And therefore, by so doing, it increases the affordability and the viability of the farm unit. That was my next question. Chair, is the program designed for sustainability?
I will allow that program last anything quite be high level in terms of, don't go too much into detail because I guess 10 to 12 now, we did for time. But we had to apply our minds and listen very carefully to everything said. But I will then allow you to refer.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Wrapping up by saying, program we believe designed for sustainability, this blended financing initiative, because on the slide that is on the screen, Chairperson, I hope members are able to find their way to it, is to say it's a systematic process that we have put together with DAF as well as DLR to say it starts with land availability, but in the second instance, there has to be expertise to determine and to model appropriate land use. So what can this farm be used for, to what production capacity level? And then in the third instance is the funding. And that funding is the blended funding that we are talking about. Then there are implementation arrangements, as has been mentioned, i.e. working together with commodity organizations to help with the actual implementation on the ground, be it cultivation or managing the livestock products. Ongoing support is built into this entire program, as well as market access arrangements, and finally, a monitoring and evaluation framework. This slide, in one picture, encapsulates how this entire program is framed. Chairperson, I thank you very much for your indulgence and the members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Certainly the additions were very useful then, Ben. And certainly our department treasury, you might have something to say. Our department would value that the sustainability of the vehicle, the land bank. And most of us in the room, all of us across the sides, would appreciate the current collapse of the VBS, which is not the topic today. But whatever we do, we don't want one more bank to go down and history judge us and say, in our time, we came with models that were very heavy on the land bank and the land bank ran down. We don't want that. Whatever the shortcomings, we want this bank to be a solid bank of the future. Insofar as land use and agricultural land use and all that, of course, an interesting question is how to do that with it being a transformative agent, with it being a DFI, Development Finance Institution. The Treasury would rather come to party in your own terms now.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think, so our role is in this has been to, our normal role is always to make sure that we're getting the most bang for buck from government money, that we're getting the biggest development impact, that we're having the biggest impact of poverty and inequality. And so our role here has been to help the departments develop the policy framework. We've been involved, as Elder said, since the PAKISA, which was, I think, 2-3 years ago. And I think what you're saying about, I don't want to go into the VBS talk, obviously, but in terms of the sustainability of the land bank, we can't expect our DFIs to carry out developmental mandates if they're not properly funded to do it. So the role in terms of public finance has been to make sure that we improve the support we offer to farmers. farmers, but we do that through the land, using the land bank, but it has to be, the departments have to use their allocations to do it. So our role has really been as supporting the departments and trying to get this policy off the ground. Ndingo Owen Wilcox, Gamala.
Chief Director, Departmental Support Services and Treasury.
Chief Director, Economic Services, National Treasury. Public Fire.
Diabulela, Kulim Shegas. Dr. Adela, you want to say something? You don't have to if you have nothing new to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I have nothing to add.
Thank you very much, Chair.
No.
I thought you were going to say except 2-3 silent points.
She did a perfect job. And my counterpart has said it sufficiently.
You probably got recruited over to Dr. Diener.
Thank you.
Probably they'll offer you something. Thank you very much. Am I forgetting any stakeholder? Not. Thank you very much. No wonder, Honorable Malo, you raised the point about us being joined when we deal with these issues. Absolutely, it's been reflected in the presentation. Once again, we heed your wise counsel, comrade. Honorable members, we need to find a way to just engage. For the rest of the meeting, we don't, or we're slightly more than an hour, but we've still other items to deal. We'll require that you remain in the witness box, ma'am, while we engage with you, cross-examine. Members, shall I get an indication of health? Honorable Papama, Honorable Sildane, Honorable Makasa, Honorable Chabeling, Honorable Madela, and Honorable Two. Oh, is that hand up or the pen up? No, this one here, Honorable Mazim. No, it's fine. I just ask if the hand is up. I don't ask how long has it been up. I'll come to that question also. So, thank you. So, shall we go in that row? Honorable Mazim, you'll be the second, Honorable Magadla. Honorable Zizi, Honorable Chabele, Honorable Madela, Honorable Somane, and Honorable Maloy. Thank you. In that order.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm really excited at the work that the department, the land bank, and other stakeholders have done. I think it is long overdue. There have been talks in the past about getting all stakeholders under one roof to actually do something like this, and I'm really excited. I think they've gone into a lot of detail. They've looked at the risks, they've looked at everything, and I am really, really, really impressed. And I must say, the lady who gave the presentation initially was also good, the first presentation. So thank you very much for that. Chair, I hope you've indulged us because we have a lot of questions, and really we should have put a day aside for this. Because, you know, we as parliamentarians are always accused of not understanding issues, and that's because it's always a rush job. So we will ask for your indulgence, Chair. I have a couple of questions.
Absolutely a wise point. So that's why I'm just interjecting a bit. We will certainly, from your wisdom, have a joint workshop with our sister portfolio committee, says with the same work. So maybe we can just be high level for now. High level means out of my 10, 15 points, I just pick up the top three. And then we will then, but remember, I'm guaranteeing a point you're proposing, and I'm guaranteeing that the next step would be to engage workshop style. So why would you need 15 points if we will still workshop it jointly? That was my point. And I was taking it from your own wisdom. You can't have your bread, butter on both sides, though. unless if you want to engage now exhaustively, then I withdraw the offer I was making to support your point.
I'm going to ask the questions in a haphazard way, unfortunately, and I think the land bank or the departments or whoever, whichever stakeholder, must just decide which questions they're going to answer. The first one is, what intervention is there to mitigate the reasons for failure of land reform tabled in the high-level report, high-level panel report led by former President Halima Mutlante? I don't have to list them, but part of it is skills, corruption, after sales care, etc., etc., etc. Interest rates have, that's the second one now, interest rates have always been the lament of black farmers. You are not talking of a base cost of 8.72 land bank. At what rate do you envisage these loans to black farmers will be? And I see on the page that you had here, talking about pricing, there is a little block on the left that I really think should be explained to us. It's around the pricing. I don't understand it myself, but I would appreciate that you actually explain that to us. Grant funding from the department will, among other things, be for land acquisition. Will the land bank require the title deeds to be in the name of the beneficiary in order for him or her to get blended finance? If not, what security will be used? The blended finance economic benefits criteria has a total of 14 points, of which 4 talk to ownership by HDIs. Does the ownership include the land that the financed project will be on? The key objectives of the blended finance is to inject new black entrepreneurs into the agricultural sector and transform the sector by shifting the demographic composition of players in the commercial agriculture. How do you envisage this happening, as presently all commercial farmers own the land by title deed, whereas the call from the EFF is for not only expropriation without compensation, but also nationalization of the land? How can the envisaged change be meaningful without title to your beneficiaries? One of the slides says that the department's responsibilities talk to 800 million of the grant funding from this department will be for rehabilitation of restitution and other land reform farms. Is this fund replacing recapitalization? And what guarantees do you have of success this time? Will you not be again throwing good money after bad, considering the failures of the past in land reform? Page 6 on the lady on the slide on the slides that the lady did initially. We talk about expanding the agricultural base and injecting new black entrepreneurs into the sector. What I would like to know is, what is the main difference between this scheme and the CASTs and the LRADs and others of the past from the department? And also included in the CASTs and the LRADs and all of that is the retail emerging market that was talked about in the land bank. What difference is there now, and what success do we envisage? We talk about, my next question, we talk about bankable business plans. I was working at the land bank at one point in my past history, and we saw copy-pasting of business plans that were accepted at the land bank. So what guarantees do we have now that the business plans that will be there will actually be viable? Land bank talks of they will be able to monitor and evaluate these projects. Will land bank have the capacity for this, because their staff could not cope in the past? Chair, as I said initially, this is a very good plan, and it looks easy on paper. But as we all know, in South Africa, we are very good at making plans, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody here. All of us are good at making plans, but when it comes to implementation, we always have a problem. When I look at the page that the lady slides, I can't see the the page number here, I must have written on top of it. She spoke for quite some time on this. No number. But the one that says process flow for applications. What, first of all, I'd like to know, what are the criteria for grant finance? Are we going to do what we did in the past, where we rented a crowd in order for them to have the equity to be able to access the loan? Or can a person, as South African, as an individual, will they be able to get a grant funding, and the grant funding will be enough for them to be able to leverage the loan? Last one, Chair, I have a lot of questions, really, and maybe if I go through you, Chair, if you can give us permission to actually write to whoever, whether it's the land bank, because I really also see that there are just too many questions. I must give the others a chance. This process, when I look at it, through the application process, through the funding forum, through land bank, fund administrator, and all of that, it seems like a very long process. And in the land bank presentation, there is a slide that talks to weeks. Slide number 40, it talks to weeks. It says for the initial assessment, it's 1 to 2 weeks. For credit approval, it's 4 to 8 weeks. Funding forum approval, 2 to 4 weeks. Post-approval, 1 to 4 weeks. When I add all this up, it gives me 18 weeks, which is 4.5 months. So are we saying that one application will take 4.5 months from start to the end, yes, until we you know, the person is disbursed, I mean the money is disbursed? Chair, I will stop there for now, but as I said, with your indulgence, if we can be able to write questions down and get answers, I would really appreciate that. I feel that this is very important. Thank you.
Thank you. You took 10 minutes to do it. Thank you. The next one.
Thank you very much. Let me also welcome and appreciate the presentation. It sounds so good and promising. Hence, we have so many questions to defer time. But I'll stick to two questions, Chair, especially on the issue of land bank. As you can see, its mandate is now expanded from the previous mandate that they had. We still have to revisit the existing loans that they're having with other farmers, the farmers that are commercial. Now there's a new mandate to deal with the new ones. My question is their capacity to deal with the current addition, looking at the past performance of LandBank, checking their past performance and the added mandate, are we having capacity to undertake this nice responsibility that is put before the LandBank? And two, they will forgive my little understanding. On what constitutes small scale, commercial, medium scale, and small farmers, smallholder farmers, what constitutes that, and how many black farmers are in each category? I think this, in my understanding, is only to understand how will this model really lead to a transformation. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Nant, Honourable Aziz.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will be the last one to shoot this program down, but I'll be the first one to critique it. I'm not criticizing, I'm critiquing it. There's a difference between the two. Still, my voice is escaping. I hope it's not serious flu. And my reservations are sourced from the past performance, past and current performance of these two departments. And I want to then put a question to a land bank, and I will want a specific answer with DD. Have you done due diligence on the performance of these two departments? Or did you just state department said, we have to go to bed with them? Have you done due diligence on their performance? That, for me, is very critical. You can't go on such a major thing without due diligence with your potential partner. If you haven't, you'll need to. Not just their presentations when you get together, but seriously, you know more about it than I do. Okay? Now, the next question is, what qualifications will these beneficiaries need to come on board with, and what additional training? And if they don't, will the training also be funded out of this? Because some of them may be having 10 years experience and so on. So that as you fund, and hopefully after a couple of years, you leave them to fend for themselves. You know that you're taking on good money and you're investing it in people who have got some kind of pre-qualification, academic or practical experience on the field. What would be the minimum requirement for them to be able to accept, to be acceptable? If not, then within how many years will they have acquired what training? Within how many years will they have acquired what competences? That for me becomes critical because this is a 10-year period that we're looking at. And just for emphasis, I'll repeat what Honorable Mpapama did put across. Will it be a necessity, a qualification, that the farmers actually own the land? The reason, one of the reasons I'm asking this is because some of the objections that we received when it comes to expropriation, the amendment of Section 25 was that people do not own the land. They must have ownership of the land. So will it be, and that has been forwarded as a reason for the failure of the land reform program. That's why we want to know whether in your case it will be a requirement or not.
Do we have a copy of
how many farmers are you targeting to produce out of this? If you're talking specific cents and rents, you probably would be talking a specific number of farmers that you will be targeting. Your opening remark was that the commercial farmers are by and large white farmers. How many white commercial farmers do we have in the country? And what volume do they produce for social needs? How many white commercial farmers do we have in the land? And what volume do they produce to address the social needs of the country? Looking at this from the perspective that treasury makes funds available through the equivalent department, the primary function of government is to address social needs. It is good for the country to have commercial farmers, fair enough, but the fundamental reason why any government exists in any part of the planet, at least let me talk about Earth, is to address social needs. And that's why I want to know, to what extent will this address the social needs from a food security perspective? In other words, what kind of tonnage, if you know the quantum of the money that you're going to be dishing out over the next 10 years, on the one hand, that's a debit side, so to speak your language as a banker. The credit side, socially, how much tonnage? These are what is needed in order to take the 13 million people who are food insecure as we speak. That's what I want to know. How many tons will be produced to make what impact on the 13 million people who currently have got are not sure of what to eat? The last question, Chair, in the spirit of cooperating, which of these commodities that are listed in the main presentation will be zero rated come April next year? I think the state has already given an indication of the commodities that will be zero rated when it comes to. I'm looking at the social impact of this whole thing. How many? Which ones? And lastly, indeed, seriously, Jay, from a nutrition aspect, have you been able to jot down the nutritional benefits that will come out of this program? And I'm asking this question because rural development have obviously sacrificed certain programs just to be sure that this is a success. I'm not going to question that with their wisdom in doing that, but I would like to know whether from a nutritional element, this program will benefit where we need athletes who go out and produce at the Springboks, you know, and so on, and they earn money. We need students that can be sharp because they are getting nutritional, you know, nutritionally rich diet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome this more. And if you can stick to your objectives, can please monitor them, at least poverty is reduced. What is needed here is implementation. I agree with you, Chairperson, and I like your comment. I hope these two departments that are spending their grants to land bank, they are going to take into consideration the issue of municipalities that deposited their funds to Mutual Bank. Please. I think we don't want anything of some sort now. Chairperson, what I want to ask is this blended finance model assists those who are in commercialization only. What if I don't want to be in commercial sector? Chairperson, the grant funding facility by these two departments, that is the RDLR and DAF, to land bank, must go where it is supposed to and not be diverted to other programs. And land bank to have policies that are pro-poor to change socio-economic situation. And lastly, Chairperson, I agree with you, Honorable Fielder. We have experience for these two departments to always fight down there where we are staying. Agriculture, I'm supposed to support those who are in agricultural sector, that is for seeds and all those things. Rural development, I'm making dams and fencing only, and the communities now don't know what to do. That is what is happening. Fortunately for me, I'm staying next to one of the irrigation schemes that was established during the Matanzima era. You know, these irrigation schemes are vandalized. Everything is happening there because of these two departments that are fighting. So it will be of good if your integration is good enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Makasa. Honorable Chavele.
Chairperson, I just want to check that I know the last time I followed what the land bank was doing was when it, during the time of Ms. Dolny. Exactly, that's the person I'm talking about. That's the last time I heard about the land bank and what it was to do. And I must say there were lots of questions that I wanted to ask then, and I never got an opportunity to ask those questions. And some of the opportunities that I saw in the environment, but the bank did not take an advantage of that. It's the application of the credit laws of South Africa. In this country, when you owe a bank either a housing loan or a car loan, if you don't pay, the bank comes and takes your house. and it takes the car. And with the land bank was owed lots of monies by farmers. And the bank did nothing to apply the credit laws of the country. Like if you owe, we take your land, take attached agricultural implements, we take the goats and sheep, but we don't attach the dogs because we need to feed them. But the bank did not do that when there was an opportunity to take this piece of land from debtors and give it to those who were land hungry. And there was money even to help black farmers, for instance, to do something on farming. I just want to check, now that this bank has changed its face, they say facelift, I don't know whether it's a facelift or it's a cosmetic or a, I don't know what to call it, but I'm told, I mean, I can see it's a new bank, and I don't even see the difference that much between this bank and other banks that do funding like APSA, except that there will be money that is put by the government, by the department, by Treasury, and this department that we are overseeing, the Department of Land and Rural Development, will be putting money into that, which means that we're investors in that bank. What if these people are not paying? What is this that we're going to do? Are we going to end up saying, no, let's cancel everything? I don't know what happened to the White Commission farmers who owed this bank, whether their debts were just cancelled. Because there was a time when we were saying that expropriate those who are owing you, and then you give the land to those who want to use it. And those who want to use the land are people who are using the land at this time as farm laborers or as farm workers, and you just give them a management support and some technical support and training to be able to run them. Now I just want to check again, with us, we're running the program on restitution where it involves lots of funding of some programs here and there. Will all our grants be paid through this bank? Are we going to take our budget for restitution and give it to the land bank and let them do all the transactions as banks do? They stop orders, you pay so and so, pay only this much for seed. Yeah, well, this money is being put in this facility. Speaking of claimants, what if some of our claimants are not able to reach the 500,000 rand threshold that you need, for instance, to fund according to the categories that were shown? What if they do not meet that threshold? Does it mean then that they are not going to get any help from you, for instance, to move some steps ahead? What is the legislation again coming in this facility and this relationship? I don't remember seeing any policy document so far. Maybe it is within this document that has given to me. Yeah, Chairperson, I'll say those are, yeah, for me, those will be the things for now. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Chair. I also wish to welcome the presentations and the additions. Indeed, it was excellent to watch. My first question would be, Chair, this blended finance model has been indicated originate within the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries and the Land Bank and a number of DAFIs, next of the Department of Trade and Industries. It's now, the DAFIs that we mentioned was the IBC and the NEF. It's now a tripartite agreement that speaks to land bank, DAF, and rural development land reform. Does it mean that the DTI has been cut out now? Because DTI was in many ways housing NEF, etc. That's my first question. The chair one is extremely worried. Perhaps I can be, my worries can be done away with. I could be comforted. Chair, currently there are applicants who have applied for funding from the land bank. Mr. I, the CEO, I can't pronounce his name, Nkongo? Jongo, I apologize. Would remember?
In charge.
Thank you.
The easier way is TP.
His office, his director in his office, is for me, have been interacting with me around applications, an applicant who's now waiting for, it looks like a standard period of time, just over 5 months for an answer. It hasn't received an answer yet. And one fears, Mr. Maloto, that this new venture, you chuck out all the old ones, applications. You start afresh, and at the same time that I'm getting. And I'm fearing DG, my DG of rural development and land reform, it seems like we will be doing the very same thing. Everyone in the recap who's in the program, they are cut out, you know. CLCC, I'm also worried. Does that mean those claimants that the claims that are about to be finalized and settled, will they also be cut out? Because there's a new process, an application that has to be made. That is my worry. How will this impact on existing programs or commitments to those programs? Chair, my other DG, Mr. Malingana, I have so beautifully defined smallholders, small scale, medium, and large. Small scale, he said very clearly, is those that are cultivating or producing for household consumption. And he said the medium would be the ones who produce primarily for household consumption, but have surpluses. And those surpluses, he didn't say, would probably be somehow made available to the either loose value chains, bucket traders, etc. But the bottom line is the 500,000 cutoff as Honorable Jabalenia have raised now for turnover. We have in this country more than 200,000 smallholder farms that are producing, and I must confess there are ample research on this, that are producing for household consumption, but the surplus that they produce, they indeed sell to neighbors, they have this bucky traders, this loose value chains, etc. The medium ones would be have formal value chains, this contract farming, just one with Pick and Pay, Woolworths, etc. But I'm fearing that we are in actual fact cutting those 200,000 farmers will never climb up the ladder, Chair, because in my understanding, as I said earlier, the small blended, sort of this blended finance model seeks to enhance a program of agriculture, forestry and fisheries in relation to targeting and developing 450 black producers over a 5-year period, as announced, I think, 2 years ago by our former deputy, sorry, not deputy, by our former president, Chair. Now, my concern would be if we say, if the target is 450, what does that mean? are we saying that over a 100-year period, Mr. Moloto, through this program, we will be able to develop 450 times 20, because there's 100, there are 25. Am I mad? I'm just worried, sir. My worry is that when we speak about this and we look at it in its whole context, look at the policy pronouncements that has been made, and you link them all together, then you are indeed saying, can come to the conclusion that we are talking indeed about 450 times 10. I think when the Blue Sauki is trying to count exactly the 450 over the 100. Also, we talk about the capacity. I think when the Blue Chuckling asked this question about the capacity, raises the issue about a time frame to process one single applicant. It's a cumbersome, extremely bureaucratic process. As outlined, BNJ, and she ended up to a far that would be approximately 5 months, and that is now the experience that I'm having with a land bank, not through the blended finance model, you know, an ordinary application. So there's quite merit in that question. But when we also see that the amounts that have been made available, that the land bank will get an original 3.5%, 2.5% for project and administration cost upfront from the total project cost. So if a project is 100 million, so then the land bank is entitled to 2% for project management of that 100 million, plus the further 2%, 2.5%. Plus a further 1% of the remainder, you know. Now I'm raising this in the context exactly of what was going to be troubling I raised now earlier. The interest rate, at what level of interest rate for the loan component okay, would it be at the commercial interest rate? I know that the land bank have said they are in excess rate using methodologies that are prevalent in the commercial finance market, you know, do what other banks do because of the fact that they do not receive ongoing funding from government. Now, I'm saying, Jay, this funding is from government, so it must be treated differently as funding raised by the land bank from Old Mutual or any other loans. So there have to be a different way of leveling interest rates for recipients or participants in this blended finance model. I just want to make sure that is the case, Chairperson. Also very importantly, Chair, if one looks at what the land, the
presentation.
Honourable Chairman.
There was a slide that indicated, illustrated all what needs to be done is the pre-assessments, the technical set, all of those things. The only thing that is missing in that slide is what role must the farmer be the recipient? It does seem that the recipient, the applicant has absolutely no role. That is the impression that one gets. And it reminds me, Jay, are the current conditions witnessed, Honorable Magatla raised now earlier, that prevail in our department, rural development and land reform, where you have to get a strategic partner or that will develop your business plan for you, he will mentor you, he will, in actual fact, is the one that will determine what, how much money you need at what time, so that you as a farmer actually have no role to play. You know, and I'm concerned that there seems to be a repetition of those kinds of that kind of a methodology. Let me stop there, but I welcome the idea of a workshop, Chairperson, to thoroughly go to this chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nopa. Now we've lost all talk due to you, Nopa. Honorable Maloy, the last.
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm going to talk to the chief that I must be deployed to this committee. I like this committee where, despite the challenges of time, a member is allowed to address for not less than 45 minutes. Secondly, Chair, you know, I want to agree with you that we will need to have a full day session, but it must be a joint. It must be a joint meeting before we rise. We are writing on the 7th of December before we rise, because this is an important matter which we must deal with as these two committees. So I'm going to propose that after this meeting, Chair, yourself and myself, we must just work out the details. That meeting must take place as quickly as possible in order to afford members of Parliament an opportunity to engage fully with this item. I don't think that today we'll be able to do so. Now, Chair, I'm going to be very short because I'm interacting with this presentation for the second time. So I'll be very short because immediately after my input, I would want you to release me because duty is calling somewhere. The first question which I would want to raise, I don't hear you talking about the role of DTI. Or where is DTI in all this thing? Because this model is centered around the black industrialist model, and so on. And if you talk to the DTI on this blended funding model and so on, they will tell you about the things which they can do in this area. But they are not here. I'm not sure. Maybe if you can just talk to that area in order for us to understand where is DTI in all of this. Because there's a lot of money there which they can contribute to ensure that we achieve these objectives. The second question is particularly on your slide 16, where you are referring to extension personnel. For us to be able to achieve this important objective, agriculture, this is to you, do you have the necessary human resources in the department, particularly your extension officers, to be able to do this exercise, this team that you are sending and so on and so forth? Related to that, you are busy now with the farmer register, the census and so on and so forth. Do you want to undertake this exercise before you complete that other exercise? And what informs this exercise? Is it provinces who submit names to you that we think this person is this, then you go, you just go there and so on? Or are they totally different projects which must be treated
differently. The third
question, you know, when Len Beng was presenting, particularly on your slide 39, Len Beng, what is the difference between your slide 39 and the slide 38 which was presented earlier on? Is there a difference? Or were you just repeating the same thing, all of us? Or were you just re-emphasizing or emphasizing what was presented earlier on? Or is there a difference? And so on. Now, Land Bank, is there really a fundamental difference between yourselves and the commercial banks? Agriculture and rural development. Why did we choose to work with the Land Bank instead of working with other banks? Because from their presentation, I don't see any difference between them and the commercial banks. And what worries me in that, if in this instance, for example, is that they are not just being involved in this thing for nothing. For an example, they are going to take 2.5% for project management and administration of the current facility out of this thing. It's going to go to the Land Bank. Secondly, you also mentioned commodity organizations and so on and so forth. We are going to receive 2%. So this money is slowly going. It's like your PMUs, by the way. They might be taking 10%, but it is also slowly going to somebody else and so on and so forth. So you are giving them 2%. Now, if there is no fundamental difference between the Land Bank and these other commercial banks and so on, why don't we do this thing in-house? That is ourselves, the rural development and so on, instead of giving it to somebody else. And let our officials there distribute this money and so on. You know that you won't be losing 2.5%, you won't be losing this 2%, you won't have these long processes, which takes more than a month and so on. You'll be doing them in-house. Why are we not doing them in-house? Is it because we don't have the capacity? Or if we don't have the capacity, why don't we build that capacity in order for us to be able to do this thing as quickly as we can? Or do we just want to ensure that at least this Land Bank remains there, we assist them, and so on and so forth? And I must indicate that, you know, I love this thing called the Land Bank. But the Land Bank, in terms of my own understanding, which is supposed to be a developmental bank, in terms of my own understanding, not this one, which is, it seems it is a two-legged thing. We have the commercial leg and the developmental leg, but it is predominantly commercial in its nature and so on, because you need to make money, you need to survive and so on, and you are not getting enough grants from government and so on and so forth. You are getting a piece there from the World Bank, a piece there from the African Development Bank and so on. So it seems you are in that situation. That is why I'm saying at some point you'll have to explain yourself what is the difference. I know if you go to APSA, they also have similar arrangements, particularly for the agricultural sector and so on. So maybe if you can explain to me fully as to what is the difference, because as we go forward, we need to address this matter. You know, Chair, when you said earlier on, which is the last point which I would want to make, when you said Treasury must comment and so on, I thought Treasury will also tell us what is their understanding of the Land Bank. Do they agree with the manner in which the Land Bank is structured or in which it is functioning currently and so on? Or do they have better ideas as to what type of a bank are we supposed to have going forward, which will assist us to achieve our objectives as outlined in the NDP? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honourable Mandoy.
Chair, can I just raise the last question? I'm very sorry. Because I did not raise any question for Dr. DLR. And when I go out, they will think that I don't like them. Just to make sure that I demystify that thing. You know, there's slide 10 of your presentation. And then on your slide 10, you have set aside, I think, some a lot of money there. which is for recap development or recap and development and so on. So I just want to pose one simple question. You will recall that when we said after the pronouncement by the minister that recap must go to agriculture. And when recap was supposed to go to agriculture, we were then told that there are no funds from Dr. DLR to follow that function. You had to take money from other projects and so on for recap. But now there is money for recap and so on. Where does it come from? Because at that time when funds were supposed to follow functions, we were told that that function is not funded. But in this document, that function is now funded. What is the situation? What's happening here? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Madam.
Thanks, sir.
This is Helena.
This is right. You will then decide how the...
No, that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. You will decide how you... wrap up the question. We got slightly more than 15 minutes to get all that, and I was liaising with the committee secretary to look at the possibility of deferring further items on the agenda, because if you look at time, I would have wished, Honorable Malo, you were able to remain throughout the duration, but I do know more than adequately that you have duty calling elsewhere. But we will definitely favor all of ourselves with a follow-up session, day long one. I was trying to support Honorable Mabam, but I think she she understood it the other way, and she begged for more time. So I was supporting her idea that Honorable Maloy, we have a day amongst ourselves. I don't know which other portfolio committee, maybe water and sanitation, if we are able to, but the two, I would say, the two lead would be DAF and DLR portfolio committees in that session. And we ask our five executives, two at DAF and three at, to be there. Because some of the issues are policy and strategic questions. And you then broke down Moses Helena to deal with those. Perhaps your good self might just be functionaries at that level. So we will definitely, before Parliament arrives, that's taken. That's part of the resolutions for our resolution tracking. But then going to the questions. Treasury, I would have thought that, you know, you're custodians of PFMA and public government. I always talk to DLR officials and ask, who of you has public admin qualification? At some point I was told to at FMS, senior management service. So, Treasury, you then become the custodians of PFMA and the custodians of the administrative procedures. Not really reducing the responsibility of from the departments to the custodians of administrative and managerial tools, but yourself, the backstops with yourself. So the budget for this noble idea, where does it come? In the MTF, in the current financial year, 1819, has it been set aside? What is the tool that you have used to then look at that budget? Is it the variation or the, you know, which should be 7-8% somewhere there? Is 7-8% somewhere there? So what tool have you satisfied yourselves with that? Are you certain that all the prescripts have since been followed? The procedural aspects about the whole thing, is the policy in place that then enables this to fit in? Perhaps from yourself now, Treasury, yourself, so that we dive with the Tani Tobia Center, with the Eunice Karim, to say they must check you if you are not checking some of these things. Because they are all the innovations, but we know our basic checkpoints. And you talk about controlling
in public administration, the fifth area of controls. So is this in the current budget of the 800 million from DAF, the 2-point-something billion from, how does it roll out to the outer years, you know? Has it been in the policy speeches of the ministers, all this? If it has not been, how would you see it fit in? Or you would expect us as overseers to really overlook that aspect? Because remember, when we do our work, we start with policy speech, the president's honor, the policy speech of the minister. You like to call them budget speeches and budget goals. I prefer to call them policy speeches, because budget follows the policy perspective, not the other way around. So have you followed that and satisfied yourself that this noble idea, its time has come? It's like asking the doctor, these beautiful twins, are we at month 9? Or these beautiful twins can be born at month 2? So there's an issue about time and strategic imperatives there, and the readiness and all that goes with it. So Treasury would like to refer that to yourself. Both to the alcohol unit department softly, DAF and Rural Development. The lead department, have you done a SWOT analysis? Please favor us with that document, because I would assume you'd never come here and not have done it. Favor us with a situational analysis that you made, and the SWOT analysis that you made at the workshop that you held at the venue and time as set out, at which you examined everything. Thanks, Ms. Helen, you did indicate the idea might be coming in part from Operation Pakisa, right? You didn't talk much about it to us with Pakisa. But in part, I have an impression of the sea thing, but whatever. But now, has there been a SWOT analysis that came with this and reviewed the environment? The next one, perhaps second last. What is the geographical spread and profile? 9 provinces. Islands of success and sea of poverty in each. Now, what is the geographical spread of this? Honorable Makadla's question is very laden from where I sit. Put differently, I know that you have people who will come from the former Transkei, but about good then. Gekreshal Gama Tanzim, there were tractors for every village. There were windmills to pump water, there were rangers and the fencing and this and that. If Mama Kata allows me, I will put it as her question and say, therefore, this model, how does it integrate just communities in subsistence farming? Not subsistence farming for those who come forward, but like these tractors, there would be a site who took a track of us. I don't know in Kazakhstan, in Lebowa, and every other. And I do know Sebe also tried his part and went to Switzerland, where he came with these cows of his. And so people are saying, but what we want to go far, those who understand closer, it's a biblical extract. It was better in Pharaoh's land than where the promised land, Canaan, or Canaan, whatever. Yeah, thank you. So that's the issue we want to check, and I'm amplifying Honorable Makata's question to really say the impact on livelihood. The last one on my part for now, because at the workshop you'll be surprised, I've got about 20 odd. And I even thought, hey, if I was academic, I would write a thesis on this and evaluate it and examine it. But I'm non-academic, don't worry. I'm merely trying to be revolutionary. So, let me pack it for now, but just allow your good selves to interact with the issues raised by the honorable members in outlining all this. We're not rejecting it, as Honorable Lizzie put it. We are critiquing it with a view to make it much more viable, solid, and to be accountable, because the buck stops with us at the end of the day. The buck stops with us. We must be able to say,
Land Bank ran down during our time because we wanted them to advance transformation regardless of the market. I'm making an example, please, if you call it, mustn't think that I have an opinion on this. So all this we just would like to have a clarity on. I do not know, Sis Helen, and your heads here, your principals here, amongst yourself, try and answer every question. Every question raised. I saw importance of every question raised because it will contribute to our body of knowledge about this notion of planet finance, right? From where I sit, Land Bank is going to deal with the questions of Honorable Manuel, but from where I sit, the more central Land Bank gets to be, all the better for the future in society. And the more these other banks, like the one I'm using, which I will not even mention, they must know if they watch TV that I'm just using them because I don't have many options. So the more they diminish, the better. The more publicly held entities occupy space, all the better. I'm a public sector cadre, non-negotiable about it. The more capacity to the state, and all the better. Oh yeah, just before that, did you look at your band? Yes.
Thank you very much. I want to use the next minute to make an appeal to you. Some of the questions, were question and answer, simple answers. But some of them are thought-provoking, challenging, and they need, we know, quality engagement. Not just answers, but quality engagements. Obviously, there will be lots of follow-up. I've just checked with my colleagues on either side of where I am to see if it would make sense to formally suggest / request that we schedule another day and give our parties across the floor enough time to say, for instance, Society would like to have you back here so that we can engage fully on this matter. There have been challenging questions put to the Land Bank, and I think they would want to engage formally, in order for them to give us quality responses and so on. Even the agriculture has been challenged here. And so is the case with the rural development. So may I humbly suggest that we request them to prepare their written answers and maybe send them back so that on that day we start from there. Send the answers back and then we schedule a meeting now knowing that we'll be starting from there. Discussion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sis. You are saying you have consulted on either side. Honorable Manuel?
No, I agree.
Thank you. Honorable Babam, Honorable Chabelin, just on the process issue. Thank you.
I don't know if some consultation on both sides is enough. It has excluded some of us. But, I tend to agree with his contribution as well, or his suggestion as well. I think it will make a lot of sense. But what I would ask, Chair, is that we send Secretary, our other questions as well, so that the response from the Land Bank specifically and the other departments can be more comprehensive. Thank you.
Honorable Chamberlain.
No, the consultation chairperson, yes. Honorable Fulton was consulting people on both sides. from where you sitting? I'm the purpose of this is actually to get a buy-in from us. I'm not sure about the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture because this program originated from them as their response to the SONA address by the president. And I'm saying a buy-in because there are lots of things where we got questions, there are more questions than answers. And that there's a feeling from me that the scriptures are becoming true, that to those who have shall be given, and those who don't have even the little that they have shall be taken away from them. So says the great book, and I'm told the book online. But I really see that happen because those who are aiming below this are not going to qualify. So and if you don't qualify, even the little that you saying, how do we make sure that, where do we fit in? What is this that will benefit as this department? Because now we're looking at this, as the doctor or the Blended Rural Development. But when I say we, I mean the constituency that we serve. How will they benefit from this? Is it going to make their lives more complicated than they are presently? Those are our worries.
Thank you. Honourable members, you have given advice and helped the meeting, but nonetheless, what we'll do, not going clinically through the issues, pick up high level 1-2 issues, any of the other principals or strategic persons in the room, pick up high level 1-2 issues, and then follow us up with the written responses from the questions raised, and we take Honourable Mbabama's amendment that even additional questions. I'll set a time of up to Friday for the additional questions to have found their way through to committee support, for committee support to then, in all probability, electronically transfer them same day, Friday. From after Friday, we suppose you high-level people who work 24/7, from Saturday, you begin preparing your responses. But for now, high level clarity, strategic thing, it's a burning thing, you will still elaborate, but you just wanted to give this overarching impression on it. I have some few minutes. We can really have that preliminary take. That's just that preliminary take. No detail, please, no details. Preliminary take, overarching, and then we will follow the processes suggested by colleagues.
Thank you, Chair. It's Elder. Elder sister. Yes, I was sent by the DGs and the CEO just to ensure that I still have a job and respecting protocol. I would want them to touch on the high level responses. For me, I had picked up only the three which I felt they are the severe bleeding points. If we leave the room without clarifying them, they would be confused. Conclusion, probably. Yes. I'll hand over to DG Mlengana, DG Badiki, and CEO Landlink. And then, if they have not touched on the three I have picked up, I'll just be allowed to talk to them. Thank you.
Delegating upward, elder, but remember you're not elder to all of us, but you're elder to them, Pakwe. So nice to be here because you just like, thank you, and now back to the serious note. We can, shall we take that guidance, please? Addition?
Thank you, Chair. Equally so, we had caucus here, and we were relieved when it was proposed from the other side, because we felt the committee deserved a comprehensive answer to this question, and we were very much appreciative that you are suggesting that we go back so that we don't have contradictions and answer you properly in writing. So if that still stands, we appreciate and we accept proposal. We had caucus here, but my other counterpart was a bit further, so we didn't caucus. Perhaps he also wants to DG Mlengana say something.
Just to your caucus, you are not going to write any written further follow-up question. I'm covered by colleagues' questions.
Yeah.
My only thing that slipped, somehow you also talk about money from restitution. That's, I'll refer it both to Treasury and to you. Do you think that it is worth taking from restitution where people are so critical of it? Yesterday I made a delegation from some forest during the Eastern Cape about restitution land and the need for compensation. Do you think that restitution is worth even touching? Is it not a sore point enough
for you to then consider blending finance and also using restitution allocation. Treasurer, I'll ask you to also respond. I don't mind the compliances about it, but the principle of touching on restitution, where everyone speaks and says 7,000 and 19,000 unsettled claims, and then 7,000. So, Iman Galogu says, Iman, Ms. Booth, if there's any questions, and I support your questions. Then I'm supporting Amlea Sibemo. Now, so the restitution, would you pull it into this? I understand the concept of post-settlement support as a different concept. So when you package your responses, please be very clear on this. I understand post-settlement support. I'm a cater and a convert of post-settlement support, but I don't confuse that with restitution. Restitution means the one person District 6, restitution means exactly that much. You take that budget and divert it to farmers. But a sub-question to restitution, how about the land that is not for agricultural purpose? Because land bank, maybe in you might have just a three-pager in response and listening to your question. Now, how about land that has nothing to do with agriculture? There's land for so many other development initiatives, so many other. The scope is so wide. So how would you accommodate land bank, other development initiatives that are not necessarily agriculturally inclined or food production inclined? It might be a factory, it might be, you will know 1,000 examples. So how would you fit those into this modeling? Right. So both for now and or for later, but I'm not going to write it, so I've written it now. So shall we follow the order, CEO?
Chairperson, again, I think we welcome that opportunity to, one, provide a comprehensive set of responses in writing, and two, the engagement face-to-face that is going to be scheduled. So I think that will provide us with a much, much, much better opportunity to clarify a lot of the issues here. And I have found each and every one of the questions that have been asked and the comments made to be absolutely valid and relevant. And so I can just assure the committee that in the design of the program, point number one, a lot of lessons of experience have been drawn from history, the kind of things that the organizations have done in the past. Questions were raised about the pre-2008 era during Helena Dolby's time and things like that. So lessons of experience have been addressed. Two, the thrust of this entire program is about lowering the barriers of access. And that detail will come through as we explain a lot of the design elements of this. The third issue, Chair, is about sustainability at the level of the beneficiaries. Because a lot from lessons of experience, and I don't have to repeat this really, that money goes, but later on, monitoring and evaluation reports confirm that not much has happened in terms of productivity output. So we're trying to pull this in here into the framing of this entire program to address sustainability at the farm or beneficiary level. We will need to give comfort regarding our capability, our capacity as institutions to deliver on this. And we will do so. I believe as an organization, the Land Bank, we will be able to live up to the kind of commitments that are required of us. Let's move into the deeper discussion. And having said so, Chair, an acknowledgement here of the weaknesses and the limitations that we have as an institution. The issues of turnaround times, fair and honest and true observations made here regarding long delays.
place in the way we do business, and we will come back having rethought that and having reframed processes and introduced a different set of standards and accountability framework. And lastly, a comment just to say, you know, the concern about money transferred to the land bank, are we not going to see a VBS-style type thing? Valid question. Let us remember, this governance framework is set up for absolute transparency, absolute audit trails built into the system, absolute checks and balances. And by the way, if money is allocated to the land bank, it only gets disbursed on written instructions from the respective sector department, be it land reform or agriculture, once the approval of a particular project has happened. So this structure has been designed with maximum governance integrity built into it. And these are the details which are contained in the tripartite agreement and its associated annexures. Matters of detail perhaps for the workshop, Chairperson. Thank you.
Lanto yakho njengo PJ team ke yakho TP. Yebo mfana leka PJ. Thank you TP. TP is no TP. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to say we have agreed that we'll be doing injustice to your question. The presentation itself, as I stated initially in the beginning, it's not perfect. And I think all I see from what we have asked as questions is really and just complementing all the things that were put into the presentation to strengthen it. It looks at all the various aspects of growth. For example, our grants are not getting into this. I mean, our chairperson, that was the first question. Don't take Caspier, because he was looking at the issue that was asked by the Honourable, that please, I want to exclude those farmers who cannot afford. We are, food security is what is driving this. So certainly we are taking into cognizance all the aspects, as I said, of the objectives that are encapsulated in the objectives of government. But more importantly, I think the thing about returning to Egypt, it's always a crime here, and it worries us as officials. It was better during the time of Matanzima, and for me, for example, in the agricultural sector, it worries me a lot because I grew up under those conditions. And to see that you are saying we are worse off, one of those responsible for changing that. So this also addresses that era. To say actually this government is better than that era. It's just that we are spending more time trying to perfect things that era in fact did not perfect. So we have agreed with my colleague here, and I would respect my colleague that side indeed did not hear that we are saying we'll be doing injustice to your questions if we attempt to answer them now. I think to give respect to this honorable house, it would make a lot of sense for us to go back. Just look at this, look at the presentation, look at the questions you have asked, integrate them into the presentation with other thoughts, and then by the time we come to you, we come fully prepared, or have fully integrated some of your thoughts, and perhaps some of the new thoughts would have enhanced the future presentation, because I would prefer that when we meet you, we don't meet to answer questions. We meet to have integrated the questions in the form of enhancing the presentation that we have given to you. So for that, we thank you, Chair, and the members. We really thank you for the questions you have asked. Because for us, they were just enhancing, as I said, they are enhancing the presentation that we have given to you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Director General. Treasury.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable Chair, I think we agree we would obviously appreciate the opportunity to provide proper written responses, because these questions, the quality of the questions demands proper written responses. But just on a high level, I mean, we've looked at the budget is properly allocated. There is money flowing in the adjusted estimates of national expenditures, which is now, sorry, the adjusted appropriation bill, which was being processed this morning, actually, at SCOA. So that's money flowing from rural development into the land bank, and then there's other money that will be moving over the MTF, so that will come through in the appropriations bill, which Parliament will look at early next year.
The policy speeches, the policy framework, and other administrative tools.
I'm not sure about that. I think the departments would probably be in a better place to answer as to whether that's been mentioned. It's something we have discussed in the Treasury documentation a few times already, because we're obviously very excited about this proposal.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry. You know exactly, because I was just going to...
I was thinking my bosses have spoken, Chair. Thank you.
You've been taught all these tricks of how to be a good bureaucrat and not release information when politicians cannot see it. You sure these are the three issues you had, Ms. Elder?
Has been said, Chair. It would address a number, and I agree with the CEO and the DGs, but to answer now might not necessarily be giving adequate responses. I think for me what the members must note is that we are looking at the whole sector, from household production up to commercialization. So what we have just presented today is how do we then advance and accelerate commercialization of black producers. But because we did not put much emphasis on the households, because one of the questions was to say, if I don't want to be commercial, then what happens? We are not talking to that program now because we are presenting how we are going to commercialize black producers. But there's a number of programs that DG Mlengana has indicated. If you look at this diagram, which I have just reflected out there, is that we have done the whole scan of the sector, and we have categorized producers in the country. So we would provide support for those who are producing for subsistence. So programs, as I mentioned, your household and your CASP and your invalidzima that are going to the provinces. There are resources also within rural development that they are also advancing to support those who are still producing for household, even those who are not yet commercial, such that they are developed. Because in the blended funding, the framework talks to two things, the developmental phase, as well as the commercial phase, which is now administered for blended funding. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chief Director. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, everyone. The restitution issues I raised, I will allow that they go into the package of responses, right? We'll go out now. Remember, we're free to make statements in any manner. We'll go out now, and it will remain a gray area. You fail to take an opportunity which you have provided. So for now, it will remain a gray area as to whether or whether not. Until we get the responses. We have timed our questions to be up to Friday. We will request that from what you have and from the questions that were raised, presumably for this same meeting, then you will have the following Friday. I don't have the dates in front of me. I can have 21st, 23rd to 28th, 23 plus 7, 30th, Friday the 30th. We will request that as committee, committees, we have the benefit of the responses by Friday, the 30th of November. And then by this Friday, we would have added any additional questions we preferred. DG Mlengana, it will be up to yourselves if you respond to the questions in isolation or you integrate them into the framework and repackage on an holistic in the sense of the questions also having fitted somewhere. But specific addenda will request and require. The SWOT analysis is an addendum on its own. Maybe an environmental scanning and the key imperatives from land bank is also kind of a issue on its own just to come to grips with them. Yeah. So that is that. We now take the opportunity to indicate members in terms of procedure. We will defer the outstanding items on the agenda, including minutes and the matters arising, including the agri-parks. Thank you, Sispong. The agri-parks, and then the next meeting we'll have time for that. In terms of us going forward, we will liaise with our colleagues at DAF Portfolio Committee to agree on a possible date. We'll meet, if you like, from 8:30 to about 8:30 in the evening, if it has got to be 12 hours, until we've satisfied ourselves about this model. Finance, Treasury, we will ask you, bear with us, you may not see an Honorable Eunice Karim or Tandi Tobias here, but please bear with us, we will request you to be there. At the same breath, DPME, is that DPME or DME? But monitoring and valuation, would request that the DGs or DDGs there be part of this, because administrative compliance, I repeat the point, sometimes I ask officials at Dr. DLR, hands up those of you who have got public administration as a high-level qualification, and sometimes we don't get it. And it's not criminal for an engineer to sit in a department. There's nothing wrong. Maybe it's at water and sanitation. There must be water engineers there. But public administration will rely on you and the monitoring and evaluation to really help us there. So we will request that you don't take it lightly, like you are observers. You're really so much part of guaranteeing the vehicle that we want to put in place to address the situations that members are asking that be addressed. So please, Treasury, feel free. Land Bank, I'm not going back into you. At some stage, I operated some smaller Nyana truck, and 40 old truck, trying to make it into the trucking industry. It was my aspiration. It just collapsed. I always had a moral question. Ow. Now, people ask to cut water in winter. Now, I say, then 500 rand a load. And people say, you are selling water. I say, no, it's not really selling water. It's the means to get this water here. Water itself is free, but the truck for it to move at 30 k's and come over here, then just to be able to sustain it. I'm just talking something, Land Bank, if you hear me. Right. So there is a need for us to say, how do we sustain ourselves in the current, if you like, at a broadest level, global environment? How do we sustain ourselves? I was communist and I was leading at provincial level. I was still having this and having to make a poor person pay for this. I had such a moral dilemma, but there was no way. As a consequence, because of that moral dilemma, my trucking initiative collapsed. Because you want to say, hey, I collectisa lamanzi, collectisa, collectisa. And in the process, it collapsed because morality goes one way, but the economics of the present day go the other. And how do you adapt? Feed us, give us an insight, how to clash balance, Land Bank, from your point of view, how to clash balance. Yeah. Thank you very much, everyone, for attendance. And up until further notice, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.